evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and tonight as my co-host and my friend, I have Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Pam. How are you?
Living, breathing, walking, talking. How about you?
Oh, I didn't know this was a rhyming show. Oh, I'm
you
great.
Didn't.
I'm doing great.
Then you called in on the wrong day.
I guess so. Well, what is this? Let's see. I can't even be clever. It's Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday, maybe.
Caught you off guard, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I mean, I'm usually not one to get caught off guard when it comes to words, but you did. You succeeded. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we'll see how our guest does tonight with that kind of thing. Tonight we welcome actor Jay Harrington, and some of you may know him from Better Off Ted as Ted Crisp, or most recently from Hot in Cleveland as Alec. And then again, you may know him from American Reunion. So welcome, Jay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're very excited to have you.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. We twisted his arm and we're sending him a paycheck in the mail. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
So how are things going with you? Anything new?
Things are good. I just finished a couple weeks ago Hot in Cleveland for now, and those episodes will be airing. We start up again in June. So the relationship with Valerie Bertinelli is still going, and
yay.
I don't want to give anything away. So, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I like you as her boyfriend, and it's about time she gets one.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's exciting. I just found out today that the show got picked up for another season.
Yes, I saw that on
excellent.
Twitter, and I was ecstatic.
Yeah.
We love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first question I need to ask you about is, how did it feel to be nominated the Sexiest Man of the Year against Cameron Matheson on Hot in Cleveland?
Yeah. Cleveland's most eligible bachelor.
Yeah.
Or as Cameron called it, Cleve's most eligible batch.
Oh,
yeah,
is
that was fun.
Yeah, I'm real familiar with Cameron because I watched him on All My Children for how many years, and then of course on a lot of different movies and things that he's done since then. So I was quite pleased to see that you and he were on there together.
Yeah, I was familiar with him as well, and didn't know what to expect. He's such a great guy, and then he was so funny too. I'd never seen him do anything comedic, so it's always fun to see someone step out of their from what you know them as, and to come on and be as fun as he was.
Right, right. Now, did you watch him on All My Children? Come on, tell me you're a soap fan.
No, I did not. but he's certainly so high. He was high profile enough for me to know who he was.
Right.
You know, my guilty pleasure back in years ago watching, as far as soaps go, it was Days of Our Lives.
Oh, okay. I watched that one too. I basically watched them all, and Dawn watches some of them as well.
Yes,
now,
indeed.
Have you heard about that All My Children and One Life to Live, even though you didn't watch it, they were canceled and are going to the web, and they're going to be web soaps?
I did hear that. You know, I think that's sort of the new era of television, if that's what you still call it. It's web content. Shows going there and Netflix. And
right.
They had a Kickstarter campaign for Veronica Mars to make money.
Oh,
that
my gosh.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. They did it in, like, what, 7 hours or something to get that
going?
Yeah,
in under 2 days, they had more money than they possibly needed to do that.
Well, it gives you hope that even if the network says they don't have the money to do it, that if the fans believe in it as much as they do, and in the actors, and they want to see it back, that they're willing to do just about anything to get you guys back.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I can remember that had happened to in on television was Family Guy. I know that show had been canceled, and then the sort of public outcry, it came back, and that's been one of its most successful shows in terms of animated content, certainly.
Right.
The Simpsons. But yeah, well, you know, you see that happen. You see Arrested Development go and do Netflix episodes, and then, of course, people on Twitter were throwing out the Better Off Ted possibilities, which would be great.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I hope something like that happens. I didn't get to see all the episodes. I don't know what happened when that was on, what I was doing. Maybe I was still working at that time.
Oh, I don't think it was your fault.
I think a lot of people. So I'm not the one that got it canceled. Okay, well, that's good to know.
No, in fact, I have more people that approach me now that have seen it on Netflix and Hulu recently than ever saw it when it was on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I think it has to do it with accessibility and that it's so open to you can watch it at any time.
Of course. And also the way that we were introduced came, we didn't come out until March of a few years ago. It was a mid-season show, and then it didn't really get a ton of traction at first. And then when we came back to finish a second season, it was again put on in mid-season, and we followed a show that not a lot of people were watching either, so it didn't really help. So it's certainly lived on in the it's had a much stronger life in its in its death than it did while
it was home. Sometimes that does happen. I notice that lately networks don't really give a show a big chance to catch hold either, because they either cancel them after a couple episodes or they move them around so much you never know when to watch them.
I know.
So,
it's really maddening. It's maddening as a viewer. Just
right.
You know, is now, of course, you can have a program to record, but even still, there are shows that I just lose interest in because it seems that the powers that be have lost interest in them too. So why should I really work hard to keep up if you know, it doesn't seem that their own people are doing that, which
right.
is unfortunate.
Right, and that's kind of what recently I know that I've seen on Twitter and other social networks, where a new show will come out and a lot of people will voice their opinion as far as, well, should I even bother watching this? Should I start getting invested in the show and start liking it if they're going to pull it off the air? And that's something that they really need to, you know, the powers that be need to really look at before they start pulling the shows off the air. I watched one. I saw two episodes, and they pulled it off. I was like, what?
Yeah.
How can you know after two episodes?
It hardly seems worth it to make the show in the first place, does it?
Right. Exactly. And then I feel for all the actors and the camera crew and everybody behind the scenes. You know, you put all this hard work in, and then boom, it's gone.
Yeah, without really a fair shot. You know, you go back to the 80s, and I always go back to the Cheers was its first season. It was last of all of the shows in its first season. It was last. And
right.
They stuck with it. He stuck with it, and it, you know, became one of, and the Cosby Show helped. It came on after that, but, you know, other shows too. Friends didn't come out and make a huge splash. It wasn't until they repeated the season in the summertime, and then people came in knowing it. You know, there are tricks, and there are shows that do stick, but
exactly.
unfortunately, they're looking for the big hit right away, and that
yeah.
doesn't always happen.
That's so true. Well, how wonderful was it to work on such a funny show with those amazing actresses on Hot in Cleveland?
That was really great. You know, I've done a bunch of different multi-camera shows, and whether it be a pilot or guest star, and this one was I was really nervous going in because they're all, you know, so I watched them all and
right.
so much, you know, so it wasn't, I was coming into a very established situation, but they couldn't have been nicer, and it was fun to be the first sort of, you know, I think I was I'm so far the longest running guest star that they've had, so
right
it was fun to kind of keep every week coming back and have, whether it was, you know, craft service or someone on the camera department going, hey, you're here again, you know, that was
yeah.
sort of a surprise to everybody, because yeah. I guess, you know, in the past the girls have all sort of had their guys they date for an episode or two.
Right.
So, yeah, it was really great fun to be able to be part of that group, because they are so, it's not only just a nice group of people, but they're so good. And it's you know, it was part of, I've watched them all and so many different things, but just to be a part of that was really an honor.
Definitely. And like I said, we're very happy to know that you'll be back. I'm better off, Ted. You played a boss with a conscience and with a heart, and that's my view, my opinion. What was your favorite and most outlandish storyline on that show?
I think actually to sort of contradict what you just said, it was the one episode where I went against because he had the crush on Linda, and he wanted to give her an opportunity to help. There was an episode called Jabberwocky, and she wanted, it was early on, and she wanted to help green the building because she'd seen a commercial that the company had run about how all of their buildings are going green. When in fact it turns out that they just made the commercial, they weren't really making the company green. But I didn't want to tell her that because she was so, had this moral and ethical stance, and I respected that. So what Ted does is he kind of takes some money from one department and puts it into another, and it ends up, of course, unraveling, and lie after lie after lie turns into a big presentation in which he's given to all of these corporate bloggers that he doesn't, he's winging it. He and Portia, he and Veronica were winging it. And that was one of my favorites.
Oh, I could see why. That was good.
Well, Faye, I would like to know, what is your favorite kind of role to play?
You know, it really depends. I've been able to, you know, I had a lot of fun doing American Reunion because I don't generally get cast as sort of a jerk. And it was fun to play that, you know, playing opposite Chris Klein, who was the nice guy, and I got to be the jerk for once. So I had a lot of fun doing that. It kind of just happened to any grumpy mood that you're in or have had, you could just sort of parlay that into the role. So that was certainly fun. And then every once in a while I get to, you know, if it's a guest star role in something, I get to be a bad guy. That's always fun.
Well, now, have you ever done any theater?
Yeah, I grew up doing theater, and I haven't done theater in a bit, to be honest. It's been a while, but that was something I did starting as a little kid, and that's what made me get interested in doing this way back when.
Do you ever find that you miss the theater from time to time?
Yeah, certainly, especially when doing a show like Hot in Cleveland where you have the rehearsal process that you don't often have. You know, Better Off Ted, you're shooting it as soon as you get to work, you get in and you start working. You're not sitting around and you know, really working stuff out, whereas for a multi-camera sitcom, you get a week to really work out some stuff. So that is so much similar to the theater experience. So when you do a show like that, it does remind you how much fun you can have doing a play and working on a character and letting that experience really evolve over a longer period of time.
I mean, so many actors who have had that theater experience, they talk about how it's really something that they do miss from time to time because, you know, the theater is such a much more an intimate setting in a way versus, you know, television or film even. And but it is neat to have that experience, I think. Do you believe that it helps kind of mold and shape you and stretch
yeah.
you as an actor?
It sure does because I have television specifically moves so very fast that, you know, those that don't have training, I feel, you know, they can get lost because it does move so quick. So it's always helpful to have that, those experiences in the past. But, you know, it's fun to be able to let things happen organically and work on things and have it be a collaborative experience. Whereas sometimes with TV and movies too, you're working on stuff yourself. You're bringing it in and you know, lights, camera, action, you're shooting right away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dawn. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I didn't know if you were going to talk. Sorry about that.
Well, I was just wondering, you played, of course, on Hot in Cleveland with all the women, and then also on Desperate Housewives. Is it because every time I mention your name, I get, oh, he's cute?
I don't know. That's nice of you, or of them to say.
Yeah. Well, I watched the behind-the-scenes trailer thing that they had on for Ted and for Better Off Ted. And one of the guys was talking about you and said that you were cute. And then the other guy he was talking to said, well, I don't know if I'll agree with that. And then he kind of mumbled under his breath, yeah, he's cute. When I tweeted it out, I get, oh, he's cute. And put it on social media. So I just thought it was funny. I thought maybe that's how everybody sees you besides being talented, that you need to be with all these women on these different shows.
Well, that gets in my next job, and I'll take it.
Yeah. How did you end up getting the role on Desperate Housewives? Because that was another phenomenal show.
Yeah, that was the audition experience, you know, going in and reading for Mark Cherry, it was the second season, and they were looking to shake up their storylines, and, you know, they had such a big, successful first year. And I think that they didn't quite know where to go with the stories, and they thought bring in someone, you know, someone different. And yeah, I got to be there for a few months, and that was another, you know, I referenced this sort of pop culture things that happen in this business, and certainly Desperate Housewives is one of them, and then Hot in Cleveland is another. To have worked with certain people and certain experiences that are going to sort of last over time in terms of their memories. It's pretty cool to be a part of.
And I'm sure they were happy to have you as well. How do you research your roles?
It depends, you know, I don't play many characters that are too far off from who I am. But it's always sort of, I bring myself to a role a little bit, unless it's something completely outlandish, but you know, it wasn't hard to imagine what it's like to be the head of a research and development company, you know, because I have friends that have regular jobs, and I know how they, you know, what they do, sort of.
Right.
But when it comes to something much more intense, you know, I haven't really had the experience to have to dig deep into finding what makes someone tick.
Well, yeah, because I noticed you play either a doctor or a cop quite a bit. So,
as do most men my age on television, you'll find.
Yeah.
If you break down most shows, it's either about cops or lawyers or FBI agents.
Which one's more fun for you?
Oh, it's a funny story about Desperate Housewives. I played a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
My first day of work, my first scene was in the an exam room in the hospital, and I was holding an X-ray of Carrie Hatcher's torso, showing her what was the matter. She wasn't feeling well, and I had to point to what was the spleen, and I had absolutely no idea where it was, and I didn't even know what the scene was going to be honest, because stuff changed so quickly that the camera was rolling, and I was asking the cameraman where he thinks the spleen was. So
oh, no.
in which area should I indicate at this moment? Because So that was fun.
Yeah. Well, if you could work with any actor, director with unlimited money to make a movie, who would you choose to be in it, and what would the movie be about?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know. You know, I have sort of an answer that I thought about before. If you could work with anyone, and I really believe that it's there's no one that I say, oh, I would love to only work with this person or that, because what's exciting about film and then TV, but with films, directors come out of, really successful directors can really come out of nowhere. You have Steven Soderbergh, who's done great things, you know, with the Ocean's 11 and fun movies, but he started, he got his chance because he took risks and he made a cool, small, independent movie. And Scorsese, going back, you know, way before, makes these grand movies now, but all these guys got their shot. So I would say it'd be fun to pick that movie, that working with that person who's gonna pop, you know, that's
all right.
Excited.
Right, give him a chance and
yeah,
help him build
and
his career.
Yeah, and a chance and have that be something that, you know, starts from nothing and becomes great.
Yeah, and then you can always say, I was the man behind the man.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Jay, I understand that you are an avid sports fan, and I just have to ask you, do you follow college basketball at all?
I do. I just filled out my bracket yesterday.
I knew it.
Yeah, I did. And I went to Syracuse, so I got them going all the way to the Final Four.
You know, I've heard that more than one. I love the NCAA March Madness this time of year. It's just so right up my alley. And, of course, I'm a Carolina Tar Heels girl. So
I was going to say, that must be your team, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say, do you like Duke? Because I probably would have muted you or something.
Yeah. I can tell you said North Carolina.
Yeah, that's true. I usually do the brackets, and so far this year I have not done it. I mean, I've got, what, till noon tomorrow? What's the deadline on that? Because I don't want the games to start and then I miss it.
I think you should finish it by tonight because they start at least out here very early. So, yeah, I mean, you might have till noon, but I would get it done by tonight.
I'll get it done this evening then. Well, of course, you know, I did look at the bracket to see, you know, the teams that were in it and everything, you know, and of course, I thought it was very strategically crafted that, you know, Carolina and Duke were put in opposing brackets, and it's like the likelihood they could very well play again. It's like, no, not all over again. But you said you got Syracuse going all the way?
Yeah, I have them playing. I have a meeting. You know, they just lost in the Big East tournament to Louisville, and I have them facing Louisville again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that would be a good game. Good matchup.
Yeah. My sleeper team coming out is to win a couple games is Bucknell. So look out. They might make some noise. Just think of them.
You know, it's always interesting the first two rounds anyway, because teams that you would expect to, I mean, it's always crazy the way, you know, teams you expect to go really far end up losing in the first round, second round, and it's just like, I guess that's why they call it March Madness.
It's
crazy.
Madness. There you go.
Pam is not a big fan like that. She's a huge hockey fan. I'm a huge basketball fan. So, you know, it's kind of like the yin and yang of sports here for she and I. But who do you have in the Final Four?
I got, if I remember correctly, Syracuse, Louisville, I wish I had it in front of me. I don't remember. Oh, Gonzaga and Florida, maybe? Or I forget who the fourth is. I forget who I have.
I'm totally fine that you did not pick Carolina in the Final Four, just so long as you don't have Duke in the Final Four. So we're good.
I do not have Duke, and I don't have Carolina. No, I don't think that either of them have it this year.
No, they don't. Carolina especially. I mean, early on in Carolina's season, there was a lot of talk. I actually work at the university, and there was a lot of talk around campus going, you know, we wonder if Carolina's going to even make it, get a bid for the NCAA. You know, that was the big fodder on campus, you know. It just was unheard of that they were playing so poorly. And then they kind of gained some momentum, and I mean, the ACC tournament was last weekend, and lo and behold, they were in the final game, the championship game. It's like, who knew, you know? So
yeah,
another crazy tournament, you know?
That's right. And Pam,
so
you're a hockey fan, are you?
Yes. I love my Blackhawks.
I bet you do. I grew up playing hockey, and I'm a big Boston Bruins fan, so wouldn't it be fun to see the Bruins play the Blackhawks?
Well, sure it would, as long as the Blackhawks win.
Well, there's fighting words.
Well, I don't know if you've paid attention, but they've won the majority of the games that they've played so far.
I have paid attention. In fact, I saw them play the first game of the season out here in L.A.
You went to the game?
I did. I saw them play the Kings.
Oh, lucky you. I haven't been to a game, and I can't even tell you how long. And probably about 2 weeks ago, my husband comes home from work, and he says, don't forget, tomorrow I'm going to the Hawks game. I said, what? He says, yeah, one of the guys at work gave me a pair of tickets to go. I says, and you barely watch it. I watch every single game. You hear me screaming at the TV. The dog hides under the bed, and you're the one going to the game. I don't think
that's fair.
That's not fair.
That was
not
fair at all.
Right. That's divorce time.
That's just wrong on so many levels. I mean,
I know. And I did play hockey as a child, and I remember getting hit with the hockey stick on my thumb, and my thumbnail fell off. So those are my wonderful memories. Yeah.
You really played. I love it.
Yeah, I did. It was floor hockey. It wasn't ice hockey, but I still played.
Oh, it's still fun. That was my favorite gym activity when you came into the gym in elementary school and they had all the floor hockey stuff set up.
Right, yep, exactly. And who knew that, you know, I would also do tap and ballet and all that other stuff. But I had a little bit of the boy in me, I guess. Do you still play hockey?
I do. I play a couple times a week. A lot of guys out here I play with are from the East Coast, a couple from Chicago, in fact. I do it to keep busy and to keep my mind straight.
And how's your ankles? I know that affects your
ankles.
Fine.
Knock on wood. Everything's fine.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, we do have a caller, if you wouldn't mind answering a call. Would that be okay?
Of course.
Okay, great. David, you're on the air live with Jay.
Hey, Jay.
How
good
you doing,
evening,
David?
Sir. I'm doing good, sir.
Good.
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
One, growing up, who were your idols in the movies and television? And why?
When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows was Family Ties. So Michael J. Fox. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually, you know, turned right into movies. And in the same way, Tom Hanks, watching him on Bosom Buddies, and even I remember his guest star as Michael J. Fox's uncle on Family Ties. He's been able to do with his career. So certainly those two guys.
And
Michael Keaton.
He's a comic genius. Okay. Out of all the girls on Hot in Cleveland, what do they each bring to the table to make it a nice place for you?
Well, they're all firstly just lovely ladies, just very nice people. They're professional. And they love what they do. They love coming to work every day, and so that makes for a real great work atmosphere.
David?
Yeah, I'm just posing my question here. I'm sorry.
I didn't know if I lost you.
No, I'm still here. I'm sorry. Now, with the youngsters coming up, who do you think is a good up-and-comer for going to make it in the business?
The youngsters in the feature, in the movie world?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've seen a lot of that Jennifer Lawrence. I guess she's pretty popular these days, huh? Although that's not quite my wheelhouse, The Hunger Games. But I don't know. The young kids, it's tough. Some of them coming up, you see a lot of them have problems handling the business.
That is so true.
That is true.
When they're very young, they get. We're all kind of jerks when we're little anyway. Now you give them a bunch of money and tell them how great they are all day. I can imagine it's hard to develop properly. But any of those kids that do come out that are young that have success, you know, that's why it was real fun to work with Valerie Bertinelli, because she was a child actress.
Right.
Yes.
Completely, she's a great person. She's not a, she doesn't have the issues that, you know, that so many of those people do have.
That's true. She's like apple pie and
yeah,
vanilla.
Yeah, she was,
green.
Right? Back in the 70s, 80s, that's what she yeah. was.
Love, love, love Valerie Bertinelli. She is just
yes.
phenomenal. I've always been a huge fan of hers. So you're very lucky to work with her, Jay.
I know. I tell her that.
And get to play her boyfriend on TV. I mean, gosh, that, you know, that's just like, it's the greatest thing, huh?
That's right.
You're lucky, Stitch.
for sure, indeed.
Well, thank you for calling
Jay,
in, David, and asking your questions.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you,
yeah,
Jay.
Have a good
David.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Well, you know, we have to look at it the other way around, too. She's lucky to have you.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
That is
because
very
we true. Enjoy, we enjoy watching you, and no matter what you do, and we look forward to a lot more. Do you have anything coming up besides Hot in Cleveland?
No, that's it right now. Taking
a breather.
Well, yeah, not so much, but it was looking at some different projects and nothing right now. But you know, you never know what. Hey, it's only 5:30 out here.
I know.
In the next 5 minutes, right?
Yes. I have to ask you about one show, though, because
yeah.
I saw it on your IMDb, and it's something I never heard of or watched. What is Math Holes?
That's a YouTube series, and it's quite funny. It's these two guys that started shooting their own little webisodes about two guys who moved out from Boston. It's sort of I guess the best way to describe it would be the anti entourage.
Okay.
They're not hip and cool. They're not famous. They're not rich, but they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
And each episode sort of follows their antics. And I saw it. I'd heard about it. I saw it, and I reached out to them and asked if I could be a part of it. And so I shot an episode playing myself. And we're going to actually do another one in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out because that was the first time I saw it, and it was late last night. So when we get done with this interview, I'm going to go and look at it and see what it's about. And I'm sure they were thrilled to death when you reached out to them.
Well, you know, they're both from Boston, and they're good kids, and they work really hard. You know, instead of just sitting around waiting for stuff to come to them, they decided to do something. And that's what first made me think of it, and also that it was – really funny stuff. They've also now it's now those two and Kenny Wormald, who's a Boston guy who starred in the remake of Footloose. He does quite a few episodes. He plays himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's a fun little series that they got going on. And I know that they got with that success that will just they'll keep working on it. And you know, you could see that kind of show on TV someday.
Right. Or even as a web series, you know, with the way
yeah,
things are going.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what, who needs TV these days?
Right.
That's so true.
Now, you were born and raised in Massachusetts. When you go visit there, do you pick up the accent at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I have some friends that have one. I can do one a little bit here and there. Those guys I spoke of in the Mass Holes, they both have one. But where I grew up, I didn't. Not a lot of people had one, but it's sort of a town to town. Some people do, some people don't.
Oh, okay.
There are many different kind of Boston accents. So.
Yeah, I have a friend that lives in Massachusetts, and when I talk to her, it's just like talking like I do, but then when she'll say certain words, that's where I hear it, you know,
yeah.
and I always laugh at her.
Like yours, when you say laugh. You got a little mid, right? Little Chicago, a little Midwest there.
Right. I know, we all have accents, even though we don't think we do.
That's right.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Jay. It was a lot of fun. And
well, thank you very much, yeah.
Learned some good things about you.
Well, good. Well, I'll keep you up to date of stuff coming up.
Please do. We'd love to have you back in the future and help you promote whatever you have coming up.
Well, that's very nice of you. That'd be a pleasure.
And I'll be watching Hot in Cleveland and watching for you, making sure you're treating Valerie right.
Okay. I'll tell her you said so.
Otherwise, I'm writing in. Thank you so much, Jay. You have a good night, and God bless you.
All right, Pam. Thanks, Don. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jay. Take care.
Bye-bye. I bet he has a blast on those sets, you know?
You know, how could he not have a blast? I mean, you got Betty White.
Right.
Valerie Bertinelli's a hoot in herself. And, oh, my gosh. Those
well, Jane Leaves and Wendy Malick, too. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
They're all funny.
The four of them are hilarious together. They're just hysterical. And then, you know, it's just such a great show. I mean, and if anyone had any wonder from the, you know, out of the gate if that show was going to be a hit, I mean, look at the lineup. You knew it was going to be a hit.
Yeah. You know anything that Betty White touches turns to gold.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's a great show. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's on there, and I think he's perfect for the role as her boyfriend. And hopefully, you know, the fact that it's just been picked up for another season, that he will be on there for a good while now.
Oh, I do hope so. I do hope so. I love seeing somebody have an actual boyfriend on there instead of them all the time talking about getting one.
I mean, I really...
And the people they end up with, I mean, it's just too funny. But, I mean,
exactly. That's
what makes it, you know, a situation comedy, too, of them having to go through that to get to where they want to be. And when they think they're where they want to be, then it ends up all wrong.
I know. It's such a great show. So,
yeah, and he's good for it because he's a good comedic actor.
Yeah, and that makes a huge difference, too.
So as far as our next show, we'd like you to join us back here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to have John Wesley Shipp. Some of you may know him from many of the different soaps he played on. There was One Life to Live, All My Children, Santa Barbara, Guiding Light, As the World Turns. Boy, he almost hit them all, didn't he?
He sure did, but... Guiding Light is where I came to know him, and I must tell you, now, you want to talk about a hunk. That guy, when he was on Guiding Light, I thought he was the best-looking man in daytime at that time, in my eyes. I mean, oh, he was so hot. So hot. So, I mean, I'm just elated that you got him. That's awesome. So, it's going to be a fun, fun interview, and just catching up and hearing what he's been doing since the days of Guiding Light.
Yeah, and let's not forget Dawson's Creek. That was hugely popular as well, and he played the dad on there. So I'm sure we'll have tons to talk about, and hope that you'll all join us again tomorrow. If you'd like to call in to talk to John, the phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and press the number 1. And we'll pick up your call, and you'll be lucky and get to speak with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's if Dawn's on the phone and she lets you.
What a treat that's going to be.
She might even mute me. She might even mute me and just take over the whole thing. I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes.
No, I would never do that to you. And I'll just, well, you know, I can just sit here and quietly listen to him talk. I used to love to hear him talk. He's a great actor, and he has some of the best storylines on The Guiding Light, and that's just where I remember him the most from. And, you know, just always loved him on there. And he used to wear those tank tops. I mean, he was just really muscular. He was really the best-looking man in daytime.
Listen to her. Do we need to get a bib for you, my dear?
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm going to stop on the head. People are going to be going, oh, my gosh, what is wrong with this chick from North Carolina? She acts like she's never seen a man. No, he is very nice. Even as he got older in age, he's aged very well.
But I'm sure most of the women will probably agree with you, so they're in unison with you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm speaking for the masses here when it comes to him.
Right.
So I don't think people are probably thinking I'm as far off base as you think I am sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway. Taking these guests. We'll just have our own entertainment show, right?
I know, right? We'll just talk about all the hunky guys out in the world. And
yeah.
I'm sure
yeah,
there'll be
so
enough
great.
People that would tune into that and maybe even call in and give us their own list. Maybe we missed somebody. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
So with that, we're going to wrap up for tonight. And please join us tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. And I guess maybe I'll let Dawn on the show. I don't know. We'll see. So we'll play it by ear.
Well, you know, I promise to be good. I really will. I really will. Because I would love to be back on your show at a later time. So, you know,
yeah.
And given all you've got coming up, I don't want to ruin my chances here.
Right.
So.
Okay. Then I know you'll be good. And with
yeah,
that, have a good night, everybody. Thanks for joining me tonight, Dawn. David, thanks for calling in, and Michelle and David for being in the chat room, as well as our guests with no names. But thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at taketworadio.com. And follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast. And you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.